present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us today on a visit to Swindon in the historic county of Wiltshire. The name Swindon has an interesting derivation. As listed in the Domesday Book, it's a combination of two old English words, swin, meaning swine, and dun, meaning down or depression. So we can, in fact, accurately say, hello, you sad pigs. Swindon Borough Council this year spent £6 million on repair work and upgrades to Junction 16 of the M4 motorway. So you can see this is a town that takes pride in its finest beauty spot. Thanks to its association with the M4 motorway, Swindon pioneered the technology used in motorway overhead gantry displays. These are manufactured by a company whose first warehouseman was suspected of stealing from them. When police arrived at his house, he denied it, but all the signs were there. In the 1950s, Swindon was home to Billy Harrison's travelling funfair, and it was here that Harrison married his star attraction, tattooed Sheila, the human card deck. With her body entirely covered with tattoos of all 52 playing cards, sadly, his wife's success led her to alcoholism, and Billy struggled to deal with her. Swindon is home to one of the best British schools of yodeling. It's run by the Austrian Clara von Schneider, who arrived here as a child refugee in the 1940s. This year she was honoured in the Queen's birthday list with an OBE for her services to yodeling. But 89-year-old Clara modestly said, I'm just a little old lady who teaches, a little old lady who teaches. An unknown number of TV celebrities were born in Swindon. Unknown, as obviously they choose to keep quiet about it. But they're not alone in working to keep their names out of the limelight. Let's meet four more. They are, on my left, Barry Cryer and Rory Bremner. And on my right, Timbrook Taylor and Pam Ayres. And taking her place at the scoring desk, please welcome the lovely Samantha. Well, we start this week with a game called Song Sequels. So, teams, I'd like your suggestions, please, of songs that are sequels to earlier popular songs. So, Barry, maybe you could start.
I've got a second-hand combine harvester.
Tim.
Johnny Be Better.
Pam.
You don't always want what you get.
Rory.
Gonna sit right down and write myself an email.
Stair lift to heaven.
I've been hanging around Dover since 1945. Still no bloody bluebirds.
Tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak table.
Message in a carton.
Aga don't.
Hold it, flashbang wallet. What a selfie.
Girlfriend in a coffin.
If I said you had a beautiful body, would you hold it against me and then report me for sexual harassment?
I don't like Sundays much either.
Itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini wax.
Papa's got a brand new bag.
If I were a carpenter, I'd speak Polish.
Let it see.
Wipe off Eileen. Pam gave me that one.
Nothing compares to V. After you, you see. It's...
No, they got it. They just didn't like it, Tim.
My old man's a waste management and recycling assistant.
Very good. OK, time now for a musical round, as I ask the teams to sing one song to the tune of another. This shouldn't be confused with Nigel Farage's favourite 80s band, Far Right, said Fred. Now, at the piano, we have Colin Sell. Incidentally, Colin was telling us before the show that he's been commissioned to provide Sir Simon Rattle with a brand new chamber piece. And Colin was so grateful for the work, he's even offered to empty it as well. Okay, so we'll start with you, Barry.
Oh.
I'd like you to sing the words of I Am 16, going on 17, to the tune of Wandering Star.
I am 16, going on 17. I know that I am naive. Fellows I meet may tell me I'm sweet, and willingly I believe, and willingly I believe. I am 16, going on 17. Innocent as a rose.
Thank you, Barry. You put your pants back on now. Okay, you now, Pam, and I'd like you to sing the words of Shake Your Booty by Casey and the Sunshine Band to the tune of There'll Always Be an England.
Everybody get on the floor. Let's dance, don't fight the feeling. Give yourself a chance. Shake, 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 shake your booty. Shake your booty. Oh, shake, 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 shake your booty. Shake your booty. Oh, you can do it very well. You're the best in the world. Oh, I can tell. Oh, shake, 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 shake your booty. Oh, shake, 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 shake your booty. Shake your booty. Oh, yeah, shake, shake, shake. Shake, 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 oh, shake, 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 shake your booty. Shake your booty. Oh, shake, 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 shake your booty.
Okay, your turn now, Tim, and I'd like you to sing the words of the Marrow song to the tune of Climb Every Mountain.
Down the road there lives a man I'd like you all to know. He grew a great big marrow for the local flower show. And when the story got around, they came from far and wide. And when the people saw the marrow, everybody cried. Oh, what a beauty! I've never seen one as big as that before. Oh, what a beauty! It must be 2 feet long or even more. It's such a lovely colour, and nice and round and fat. I never thought a marrow could grow as big as that.
Thank you. A lot of people writing and asking what Colin wears during the show, and the answer is my patience. And finally, Rory. Rory Bremner, I'd like you to sing the words of John Lennon's Imagine to the tune of the theme from The Muppet Show.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. And no hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people they're living for today. Imagine there's no countries, it isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, and I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions, I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing our world.
Thank you, Rory. If I'd wanted you to do an impression, I would have asked. Now, the next game is... the next game is called Word for Word. I'd like you to start exchanging completely unconnected words. For instance, satisfied an audience. Tim and Pam, you can start, and Barry and Rory, your job is to try and spot a connection. So off you go, please, Tim and Pam.
Palliative.
Rind.
Brickbat.
Appliance.
Puffin.
Nautical.
Rory, you spotted
It's a fairly direct connection. I mean, puffins are nautical, are
puffins
they not?
Puffins are nautical. That is, I can't dispute that. They are. Yes, puffins are nautical. What were you thinking of?
Yes, I sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's your first time, Pam, playing the game. And over to Rory and Barry.
Okay, artisan.
Pterodactyl.
Bowdlerize.
Appendage.
Concussion.
Fetish.
Detrimental.
Wobble.
Existential.
Ambiguous.
Have they gone, Jack?
Hesitation.
Tim, you're on the wrong show. Please bear it in mind next time. Barry and Rory, back to you.
Forensic.
Fop.
Geriatric.
Tim, you've come in with a challenge.
Oscar Wilde used to be called a forensic fop because he was so clever at getting to the crimes. And
did he solve crimes as well?
Of course he did. He also caused the crime sometimes.
But it actually isn't a crime anymore, Tim. Forensic fop, I'm not sure I can give you for as Oscar Wilde. I don't think that is quite right. So it is back to Barry and Rory.
Holistic.
Missile.
I didn't hear the first word. I thought it cannot be ballistic.
It was holistic. It was holistic.
Holistic. Yeah. Thank
Welcome
you.
To my world, Pam.
Thanks.
It was holistic missile, though, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Which is like a ballistic missile, as you were pointing out.
They're very, very different, trust me.
Because you misheard it, you then created a connection, so I think that's fair enough. I think it's over to Pam and Pam and Tim.
Oh, come on.
Camel.
Gargantuan.
Fag.
Seepage.
Elephant.
Rory.
A lot of elephants seep.
What do they seep?
Well,
could you do an impression of one of them at the moment?
Of a seeping elephant?
Yeah.
I could do an impression of a sleeping elephant.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Uncanny,
yeah.
Oh. That gong tells us that I have just invented a way of moving on from that. So, time now for a sporting round, and it's that old favourite, What Happens Next? I'm going to play some recordings of well-known sporting events, and the teams simply have to tell me what happens next. Tim, you like sport, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Okay, we'll start with you. You're up first. So here's a recording. It's the 1958 FA Cup final at Wembley. Yeah. So, Tim, what happens next?
What?
What happens next?
I don't know. Does the ball hit the ref?
No.
Well, does somebody fall over?
No, you're not going to get it. I'll throw it open. Barry!
Does Nat Lofthouse score his second goal for Bolton Wanderers, beating Manchester United 2-0?
Yes, he does. Point to Barry. And Tim, as he didn't give the right answer, the questions stay with you. Here's a recording of the 1995 Grand National. So, Tim, what happens next?
I've no idea. Does one of the horses start running the wrong way or something?
Oh, that would be ridiculous. If you haven't got a serious answer, Tim, I'll throw it open. Yes, Rory.
Is it the third fence and Zita's lad takes a tumble?
Of course it was, Zita's lad. Quite right, Rory. Zita's lad falls at the third. So you get a point, Rory, and Tim, the question stays with you. Here's the 2003 boat race. And so once again, what happens next, Tim?
I expect one of the boats sank.
Which one?
Cambridge?
No. Anybody? Pam?
Cambridge don't sink.
That's exactly right. They stay afloat, so you get a point, Pam. And so the final question goes to Tim. This is the second round of the ladies' finals at Wimbledon 1969. And what happens next, Tim?
Right, I'll take a wild guess here and say Anne Jones takes a second set, beating Margaret Court 6-2.
No. Anybody? Yeah, Barry.
It was 6-3.
Yes, of course it was. Jones won the second set against Court 6-3, Tim, not 6-2. So, at the end of that round, Barry's in the lead with 2 points, but Tim, I'm afraid you get a yellow card. Well, this next round is called The Symptoms, and it's all about the world of medicine. According to a recent BBC documentary, such are the advances in medical science, a baby born today can expect to live for 107 years, except for viewers in Scotland. In this round, one team has developed an obscure condition, which the other team should attempt to diagnose. So we'll start with you, Tim and Pam. Now, the identity of your complaint is being displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Tim and Pam think they're eggs. Tim and Pam think they're eggs.
Right, so Tim and Pam, start outlining your complaint.
Hello.
Come in.
Hello, Doctor. Yeah. Look, my sex life is non-existent. I don't think I'll ever get laid again.
And my head's a bit scrambled at the moment.
I've been known to crack under pressure.
And I'm not happy with my body shape. I'm very flat-chested.
Tell them about your cup size.
Well, that's the funny thing, you see, Doctor. The cups are big enough to sit in.
I'm definitely an introvert. It takes a while for me to come out of my shell. And what do you think it is?
I've got another symptom.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, I have. I've got another.
Would you share it with us?
I will indeed. It's a good one. Sometimes, Doctor, first thing in the morning, I feel like someone smashed my head open with a teaspoon.
Have you got it?
It could be the...
Sorry, time's up.
Well, we gave you fairly free range there, didn't we, I think?
Yeah.
You are eggs, presumably.
They think they're eggs. Yes, that's right. So it's your turn to be patients now, Barry and Rory, and you've been summoned into the surgery of Doctors Tim and Pam, and the identity of your mystery medical condition will now be displayed to the audience via the laser display board. Well, here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Barry and Rory are addicted to game shows. Barry and Rory are addicted to game shows.
So what seems to be the problem?
Would you like a chaperone?
What is this, 20 questions? OK, to cut to the chase, it's really affecting our work.
Well, what is?
Ask the family. They're the ones who sent us here.
See, the trouble is we're a small company set up with the family fortune, and for the last few months, I've been the weakest link.
It reached an absolute tipping point on the countdown to the AGM. Aggressive takeover by Lord Sugar, Buster, as we call him.
Yeah, we had to block Buster's bid.
And they said, look, if you play your cards right, there's a 15-to-1 chance you could make a million.
But that's pointless, right? I mean, who wants to be a millionaire?
Well, as we heard, they're all eggheads.
Have you got there yet? I mean, you don't exactly have to be Brain of Britain to work this out. It's an obsession, really, now, what we've got.
Yes,
an
yes.
Obsession.
With television programmes?
Yes, some in particular.
Game shows.
So it's now time for a round that's all about programme titles called Trail of the Lonesome Pun. Now, John Cleese has a famous rule of comedy, no puns, two words that have helped make his fortune. Unlike the words I do, which have helped him lose it. People whose job it is to come up with ideas for radio and TV shows can be remarkably lazy with their programme titles, so I'll ask the teams to share examples of programmes where the content has been contrived to suit what someone thought would make a clever title. Rory, you can start.
At 9 o'clock on BBC Two, Monty Don shows gardeners how to make criminal amounts of money growing indoors. That's hash in the attic.
Barry.
Tonight at 9, coming up on Channel 4, join Diane Abbott as she hosts her topical comedy panel show that's 10 out of 8 cats.
Tim?
On Radio 4 later this evening, a programme in praise of historical campanologists. That's Dead Ringers at 9 o'clock.
Pam.
Now on Radio 4, we hear how the frustrated residents of Sidmouth, tired of scavenging seagulls, embarked upon a total cull of the seabirds using rocks they collected from the beach. That's No Turn and Stoned after the news.
Coming up on Netflix, Mary Berry turns her hand to cooking up crystal meth in the desert of New Mexico. That's Baking Bad.
Next on ITV2, a pair of knitted mittens get jiggy with a disposable latex, while a randy old gauntlet finds an unlikely partner in a bubbly marigold. That's Glove Island, tonight at 9.
Next on BBC Two, John Sweeney travels to Scandinavia to investigate the unlikely connection between sudden hair loss in the adult population and a spate of thefts from a poorly protected furniture warehouse. That's locking the table store after the Norse has molted.
Welcome back to Radio 4's Poetry Week, and it's now time to join former poet laureate Andrew Motion, taking a reflective look at the current vogue for tarmacking driveways in The Road Less Gravelled.
Hello.
Coming up after the break, we've a candid documentary examining the problem of cystitis among lepidopterists. That's float like a butterfly, sting like a pea.
Coming up on Four Extra, we have Swan Vestas or Bryanton May, which came out best in this one-off consumer-based documentary. That's Test Match Special, coming up on BBC Radio 4.
Well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time to fit in a quick round of Hygienic Film Club. Samantha tells us she's extremely hygiene conscious and particularly obsessive about unsightly food stains on the worktop. Only the other day she was helping an elderly gentleman friend rub one out in the kitchen. So, teams, I'd like you to please suggest film titles likely to be popular with the more hygienically minded. Pam, you can start.
The King's Bleach.
Barry.
The Cook, the Thief, His Wife and Her Loofah.
Tim.
Rosemary's Baby Wipes.
Rory.
Three Washboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
The Road to Domestos.
Alice in Wonderland.
Thelma and Febreze.
The Guns of Parazone.
One starring Al Pacino. Scourface.
Of Dyson Men.
Char Wars, Revenge of the Sith.
Bring me the head and shoulders of Alfredo Garcia.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the tedious World Cup tie of time is unhelped by the piss-poor punditry of posterity and the mean Muscovite midge of malevolence sinks its teeth into the preening prat of Portugal, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha, myself and our audience here in Swindon, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Pryor, Timbrook Taylor, Rory Bremner and Pam Ayres were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultants were Ian Pattinson and Fraser Steele, and the producer was John Naismith.